Well, we've been talking about the freedoms and the responsibilities of the Christian life. And no matter who we are, we will always have to learn to get along with two types of people. Those who are more liberal in their views than we are, and those who are more conservative in their views than we are. I don't know if you've discovered that. We disagree because all Christians aren't alike. We do sometimes have differences of opinion on things, and sometimes those matters aren't particularly spelled out in Scripture. Sometimes our differences are because of our different spiritual gifts. I think I said a week or two ago, if we have the gift of mercy, then we think everybody ought to show mercy all the time, and there's never time for rebuke. Or the person who's prophetic thinks if we're not out scolding people, we're being soft on sin. Or the person who's an administrator wonders why everybody's not just more organized. And the person who has the gift of faith thinks, why don't we just believe in God more? A lot of churches get into fights over trivial issues. That's what Paul's talking about in chapter 14 of Romans. So if you've got your Bible and you want to turn to Romans chapter 14, that's our focus this morning. Just a little bit of background, that the Christians in Rome were fighting and arguing over two different issues. Their issues, the first one was diet. What should we eat? Some were vegetarians, some were meat eaters. So there was a good discussion going on about that issue. The other one was about the keeping of Jewish holidays. So in the early church, we've got the Gentiles and the Jewish traditions coming together, and there was discussion, debate, disagreement over which of the Jewish holidays should be kept. And since you're a Christian, should you forget them or should you continue to practice them? So in chapter 14, Paul compares these two types of groups in the church. One he calls the strong, one he calls the weak. That's not perhaps language we'd use today if we think about the debate that was going on, but that's how Paul labels them. Both groups were Christian. They were both dedicated. They were both sincere and trying to please God and to do God's will. But one type of person, the strong, Paul says they were the people who tended to feel that anything that was not expressly prohibited in the Bible was okay. And they were very liberal in their beliefs. If it's not against what the Bible says, then we can go ahead and do it. On the other hand, there was the group that Paul called the weak who said, yes, it's not specifically prohibited in the Bible, but we have a sense that it's wrong. And they tended to live by rules and by regulations. They had a tendency to have a very sensitive conscience, if you like. Some people feel guilty about many things. If they turn on the TV, they feel guilty. If they listen to the radio, they feel guilty. If they're not praying or witnessing or reading the Bible, they feel guilty. And Paul talks about both of these groups, and he says we need to learn how to relate to one another. And he gives some practical advice, some principles on how we get along with people who totally disagree with us, but when it's about something that's neither prohibited nor commanded in the Bible. And it's a bonus this morning because we can take some of those principles and use them in our other relationships, not just the relationships that we have with people in church. So as we prepare to think about that, let's pray. Lord God, you make us brothers and sisters, and sometimes we can't quite understand how somebody else is our brother or sister, and we seem to disagree with them so strongly. So we thank you for this word from Paul in the letter to the Romans this morning. We pray that as we think about it, as we put some of the things into practice, you will help us in those relationships where disagreement stands between us and another person. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what does Paul tell us we should do when there is disagreement with somebody else? The first thing he says is that we need to learn to accept one another. So in Romans 14 verse 1 it says, depending on your translation, something like this, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man's faith is weak and he eats only vegetables. Remember, he's talking about disputable matters. What are disputable matters? It's not an issue of right and wrong. It's not an issue of sin and righteousness. It's simply a matter of personal preference. Paul says, don't get into arguments simply over matters of opinion. They're not commanded. They're not prohibited. In that sense, they're neutral. See, what was happening in this situation was these Roman Christians, if you can imagine, after church, They were getting in their chariots and they were going down to the nearest restaurant, and the strong Christian would order a T-bone steak with Italian sauce on it, and the weak Christian would go to the salad bar. And they'd sit down at a table across from each other and they would argue about it. The weak Christian would say, "I'd be ashamed of eating that steak." And the strong Christian would say, "It's just because you don't have any faith that you have to eat salad." And they were arguing back and forth. Paul said, learn to accept one another. That's the starting point. So how do we know if we're accepting somebody who disagrees with us? Well, he tells us a couple of things to do or not do. He says, one, first of all, we don't label them. He says, accept them without passing judgment. See, the worst form of judging a person is to stick a label on them. Some people have to label everybody who disagrees with them. He's a playboy. She's a prude. He's old-fashioned. She's a fundamentalist. He's a greenie. They've got a name for everybody. And if we don't agree with them, we get judged and we get that name too. Paul says, accept them. Don't label them. Don't judge them. Second thing he says is, don't make fun of them. Romans 14 verse 3 says, the man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not. Don't ridicule, don't laugh, don't scoff or make fun. Don't sit around with a superior attitude. You know, I'm glad I'm not like that. We don't go around, Paul says, with this holier-than-thou attitude, making fun of them. God never gives us that right. God never gives us the right to laugh at anybody else's convictions, even if they're wrong. Third thing he says is, don't try to be their conscience. So I press the right button. Don't condemn them. So he says, the man who does not eat should not condemn the man who does. The man who does not eat should not condemn the man who does. If we want to learn how to relate to other people who disagree with us, Paul says, don't try to be their conscience. Don't leave that up to God. It doesn't work. So leave it up to the Holy Spirit. You see, what we naturally try and do is we fight our own conscience. When we feel guilty about something, we naturally try to resist it. And if somebody else, or if our wife or our husband tries to become our conscience, we take all that fighting against our own conscience and we focus it back on them. We want to fight back. Don't try to be somebody else's conscience. Nagging does not work. It doesn't. Paul says, accept the people around us. Acceptance means treating people with respect even when they're wrong. Why should I accept those I disagree with? Paul gives us a couple of reasons. The first reason he says is, God has already accepted them. Romans 15 verse 7 says, accept one another just as Christ has accepted you. God has accepted you. God has accepted me. Therefore, we accept them. If God accepts them in their differing opinion, so should we. Isn't it frustrating that God likes to bless people that we disagree with? I just don't like that at all. Paul is saying, be tolerant. God has already accepted them. Second thing he says is, it's not our responsibility. Romans 14 verse 4 says, who are you to judge somebody else's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. We're not somebody else's master. They're not our master. We are brothers and sisters. Only God has the right to judge because only God has all the facts. We don't know anybody else's real motives. We can guess, but we don't know. God knows motives, so God has the right to judge. So we don't play God. We're not God as much as we'd like to pretend sometimes. Paul says, don't try to accept responsibility for somebody else's behavior. Aren't you glad that when you get to heaven, the rewards, however they are, aren't given out on the basis of what other Christians thought of us? God isn't going to ask a committee, what do you think about this person? Third thing Paul says is, we're accountable to God and we can only be accountable for ourselves. In verse 10 he says, you then, why do you judge your brother? Why do you look down on your brother? For we'll all stand before the judgment seat and every one of us will give an account of himself to God. The word judgment in Greek is the word bema. I know you thought it was a German car, It's not. The Bema seat was the seat that the judges at the Olympics would sit on and either disqualify athletes who broke the rules or reward those who won. God sits on the Bema seat, the judgment seat, and says, I'm the one who decides who's right and who's wrong. I'm the judge. You remember one day Jesus said to Peter, I want you to follow me, but I want you to be aware that you're going to give your life in following me. And Peter looked around and he looked at the apostle John and said, what about John? And Jesus' answer is classic. He says, what's it to you? It's none of your business. I called you to follow me. It doesn't matter what anybody else is doing. It's your relationship to me that counts. You are only accountable to me, not to John, not responsible for John's response. Only you are responsible to me. Paul says, accept one another. Second thing he says is we need to learn to accommodate one another. Verse 13 says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another and instead make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean of itself. But if anyone regards it as unclean, for him it is unclean. Paul says, look, I want you to adapt. I want you to adjust. Make allowance for other belief in your church over non-essential matters. Give a little leeway. He says there are three ways we can hurt other people by our attitude if we don't accommodate them. He says we can cause them to fall into their old lifestyle. We can be a stumbling block. Verse 13. He says we can cause them emotional pain. Verse 15 says, if your brother is distressed about what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. He says we can cause them to lose their faith. Do not by your eating destroy your brother for whom Christ died. Paul says watch out how we influence other people. Accommodate them. Have you ever met anybody who gave up their faith because they were hurt by another Christian? Yeah. It's the second greatest reason why people leave the church. They're hurt by other people. Paul says we need to do some accommodating, and then he gives us some very specific ways for accommodating other believers. The first thing he says is don't focus on externals, but focus rather on the eternal. So in verse 17 he says, and it's the key verse probably for the whole chapter, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Don't be sidetracked by minor issues, he says. Don't major on the minors. The Christian life, he says, is more a matter of attitude than it is appetite. Don't get hung up on the little things or trivial issues. Don't be sidetracked. It's not a matter of eating or drinking. They're external things, Paul says. The Christian life is righteousness and peace and joy. He's saying don't disrupt the fellowship over non-essentials. Churches have split over the most ridiculous things. A church in Tennessee, it's actually in their minutes, in their business meeting, divided the voting members into two groups, the pegs and the anti-pegs. And they had a split in the church over whether they should allow the pastor to drive a peg into the wall of this little Christian church so he could hang his hat on it. I don't wear a hat. It's okay. Paul says, don't get sidetracked over minor issues. Pastors have preached entire sermons on hairstyles, for heaven's sake. What does the Bible have to say about hairstyle? I don't know, but not very much. I could get up every week and preach my personal preference about things that aren't specifically stated in Scripture, and I'd eventually probably offend every one of you. Paul says, accommodate. Don't be sidetracked by each other over minor issues. Verse 19, he says, help each other to grow. That's how we accommodate people. Verse 19 says, let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and mutual edification. Build each other up. Don't tear each other down. In today's church, our church and every church, we have both weak and strong. Some of us are liberated believers. In Paul's language, we're strong. We believe there are a lot of good things in life we can do that aren't specifically prohibited. And even though tradition in the past might have said no, we feel liberated. We're a strong believer. You can eat meat and do some things that aren't prohibited in Scripture. Some of us, Paul would say, are weaker believers. We tend to be legalistic. We tend to look at rules and regulations. Life is more a series of do's or don'ts than it is a relationship. And Paul has a message for each one of us. He says we both need to grow. It's not a matter of spiritual... We need to grow in our spiritual maturity. It's not just a matter of our preferences. So he says to those of us who are legalistic, we tend to focus on the rules and regulations and think if I just keep certain rules and regulations, then I'm acceptable to God. And he says we need to grow in our knowledge of the freedom that we have in Christ. And then he says to those who are strong, we need to grow in love. We need to realize that sometimes our freedom needs to be limited in order not to offend or cause somebody else to stumble. So both groups, Paul says, need to grow. Paul says, build each other up. Help each other grow. Work for things of mutual edification. So the third thing that Paul says we're to do is we are to limit our liberty out of love. Verse 20 says, do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it's wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or to drink wine or do anything else that will cause your brother to fall. Where do we do the things that we do? Do we do it in front of other people regardless of whether it's going to offend them? Regardless if it might cause them to stumble or cause them to violate their own conscience? God says even if it is perfectly permissible thing, we shouldn't do anything in someone's presence that's going to hurt their conscience. That's limiting our liberty out of love. Those of us who are parents or grandparents, we've had the experience of what's sometimes called child-proofing your home. Who's done that? People have child-proofed their home. We put little locks on the doors so that they can't eat and drink the chemicals that we wash with. We take all the glassware off the table and we put things up out of reach. We start making adjustments. We start accommodating that child, that baby. We do it out of love. We just don't want to cause any problems. We do it because we don't want that baby to be hurt. Was it inconvenient? Of course it was. A lot of times it's inconvenient. But it's like Paul saying, this is the same thing we need to do with other Christians. Some people have a very sensitive conscience. They'd be offended if they saw us doing some type of activity, which isn't really wrong. But he says, out of love, we limit our liberty. We accommodate them in that situation so we don't cause them to stumble. That's maturity, he says. Maturity is when we can limit our own freedom for the benefit of other people. So Paul's saying, how do you get along with people who disagree with you? We accept them. We don't make fun of them. We don't have any right to do that, even when they're wrong. We accommodate them. We don't want them to stumble or be distressed or be destroyed by our activities. The last thing Paul says is we assert our freedom. Have I gone too far, haven't we? We assert our freedom in privacy. When it says don't be a stumbling block, does that mean we just give it up? Well, no. It just means we watch out where we do it. We use discretion. We be considerate. Assert our freedom in privacy. Verse 22 says, whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. He's talking about, remember, neutral issues. These are matters of preference, activities that are neither good nor bad, but are conditional on our motive and situation and time. Keep between yourself and God. He's saying when you've got an opinion, don't force it on other people. Don't insist that every Christian has to act just like you do or I do. We don't flaunt our freedom. We can practice our freedom without parading it in front of other people. We can be liberated, but we keep it between ourselves and God. We don't make it a public issue. We're considerate. We show deference. Back in verse 5, Paul said, one man considers one day more sacred than others, and another man considers every day alike. Each one of you should be fully convinced in his own mind. His personal conviction, her personal conviction. We should never do anything in the Christian life because everybody's doing it. But we should do it because we're convinced in our own mind. He who regards one day as special does it to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord. He gives thanks to God. He who abstains does to the Lord. And he gives thanks to God. He's saying God doesn't care if we eat steak or salad or both. He doesn't care if we're vegetarian or carnivore, as long as we give thanks. That's true in a lot of areas of life. I don't care, but I want to know your attitude. Are you grateful for it? And then keep it between yourself and God. Blessed is the man, it says, who does not condemn himself by what he approves. The Phillips translation says, happy is the man who can make decisions with a clear conscience. Finally, Paul, after saying, accept each other, accommodate each other, assert your freedom, but do it in privacy, closes by giving a word about a clear conscience. He says, if we can do something with a clear conscience and it's not prohibited or commanded in Scripture, fine. He's not saying, if we think it's okay, it's always okay. I mean, there are some things in the Bible that are said to be specifically right and specifically wrong. You might have heard people say to you about something, it feels so right. But it's not about feelings all the time. Sometimes the Bible has a particular point of view and says, don't. The results of that would harm your life. But the next verse, verse 23 says, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. So the final principle is this: if we can do it, if we can't do it in faith, forget it. If we can't do it in faith, if we have doubts, don't. If we have doubts in a particular area, if we're doing some activity and all the time wondering if it's wrong for us because it's not being done in faith, if we can't do it with a clear conscience, Paul says, forget it. Why does God tell us to accept and accommodate each other? The goal of all that is in the next chapter, in chapter 15 and verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Paul's obviously sided with the liberated Christians. He said, God doesn't care what we eat, and we're not tied to all those rules and ceremonial laws of the Old Testament. We're a liberated Christian. But even though he has sided with the strong, he refused to take sides in the issue. He said, we need to show deference. What causes conflict, he says, is selfishness. It's true in marriage, it's true in most relationships. Proverbs 13:10 says, only by pride comes contention. Pride's the source of most of our antagonisms and struggles, and we're stubborn and we don't want to accept and accommodate. So what's the goal? Verse 5, may the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you a spirit of unity among yourselves as you follow Jesus Christ, so that with one heart and mouth you may glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the goal of accommodating and accepting is unity. God says, I want a church without division. I want a church that's in harmony. I want a church where believers are unified. Is he saying that so we all have to be alike? No, he doesn't. We can have unity without conformity. I love the fact that Jesus didn't require the disciples to be all alike. He didn't require conformity. He let them have their own personality. He's saying we can disagree without being disagreeable. He's saying we don't have to see eye to eye and walk arm in arm. Fellowship isn't based on conformity, it's based on unity. St. Augustine said it like this: in the essentials we have unity, in the non-essentials we have liberty, and in all things we have charity. That's a great motto for the church. In the essentials we have unity. Who is Jesus Christ? What's his purpose for our lives? What's the purpose of life? Have we given our life into Jesus' life? In the non-essentials, he says we have liberty, things that are not expressly forbidden or commanded. And in all things, he said, we have charity. We love each other. We care for each other. Am I a liberated Christian or am I a legalistic Christian? We tend to fit into one of those categories. Sometimes we bounce back and forth depending on the issue and depending on our background and depending on how we were raised and depending on the culture we were raised in. Some taboos are wrong in one area and right in another area. In some places you're not supposed to play cards, but it's okay to wear makeup. What does God have to say about makeup? I don't know. Proverbs 31 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but the woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Not about makeup. God always says, it's the heart that makes a difference. It's the heart that makes the difference. He says, strong and weak, we're all the same church. So this morning's question is, which are we? Some of us are more legalistic than others. We have a tendency to feel guilty about some things. We live in that state even over matters that are neutral. We always feel that God is against us if we're not praying or witnessing or reading our Bible. We feel that we're wasting our time. God's word to us is recognize your liberty in Christ. Go back and read Galatians that we looked at a few weeks ago. The whole book is the subject of learning to be free in Christ. He says we need to stop focusing so much on regulation and rule and focus on our relationship with God. And for us more liberated Christians, if we're a strong Christian and we say, I'm free, I'm not tied down by those taboos, that they're really just tradition and they're not in Scripture, God says, don't look down on any Christian's convictions. We don't have that option, that privilege. We need to consider how our actions influence other believers. The Bible says, for none of us lives to himself alone. No man is an island. No woman is isolated. There was a song a while back said, me and Jesus, we've got a good thing going. We don't need anybody to tell us what it's all about. And that's not really true. The Bible says, once we become a Christian, we become part of the body of Christ. And then we're accountable and responsible to all other believers. So just look around the room. We are responsible and accountable to all other believers. We're to look at how our actions influence everyone here. And we're not to abuse our freedom. Our maturity, he says, is our ability to give up our rights in order to help one another. Let's pray. God wants us to love him and serve him because we want to and not because we have to. He wants us not to be tied down by the bondage of rules and regulations, but to focus on our relationship with him. Sometimes our Christian life seems like a duty and not a delight, an obligation, not an opportunity, a burden, not a blessing. We think of all the things we have to do and must do and should do instead of saying, what can I do in Christ? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, Lord, we've been thinking about those things that are really neutral, that are largely a part of our culture that the Bible doesn't speak about. And you tell us whatever you believe, we believe about those things, we keep them between ourselves and you. We're not to make a major issue of them. You remind us that our unity is important, more important than trying to prove our point. Lord, we hear Paul as he says to us, we're to accept each other and to accommodate each other. So, Lord, our prayer is, help me to grow in knowledge that I will understand the liberty I have in Christ. Lord, help me to be more aware of how my actions influence other believers. Help me not to do anything that will cause another Christian to stumble, even if that thing is okay in and of itself. Lord, help me to assert my freedom in privacy and to practice it without parading it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.